This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops, but not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker, because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer, not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
Good morning. It is Wednesday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike, Bo, Tiff, here hanging out with you. How's everybody feeling this morning?
Good,
everyone's
man.
Everyone's in their screens. I feel like I'm like a parent for a second with everybody's looking at their phone or computer.
Yeah, it's table, okay? Just a little bit of research trying to get through some of the numbers on some of the things that happened yesterday, including the purse for the TGL, which was a lot bigger than I thought it was, and some of the numbers being thrown around in free agency for the NFL.
But wasn't the purse like nine something or whatever?
Yeah, $9 million.
Yeah.
Which was
$9 million.
Yeah, nine something. I had a devastating moment this morning, to be honest with you guys, man. Have you ever like done the thing where you lose a credit card between the console and the seat?
Yes.
In your in like the cab of your truck or car or whatever you're driving these days?
I mean, I think everybody has. I actually found something online for a cheat code for that.
Yeah,
so like there's like a rubber end piece that is designed specifically in between your seat and console. Like it's like the perfect shape.
Yeah,
and it is to literally stop that. And I don't know how I found it, but I found it the other day.
Day-Day
it popped
has.
Up. Day-Day has one. That's probably why. I was probably too close to in range with my cell phone and his cell phone, and that's why the ad popped on. But it popped on Instagram.
I'm not sure anything would fit between mine. It's very, very slim.
Like, no, it's specifically made for it. Like I looked it up to your point because I was like, there's no way it fits every vehicle, and they have designed it to fit every vehicle.
Well, you know how like when you lose like a credit card down there, you kind of do the hand scissors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what you call this. You just use the little crab claw.
My hands are smaller than yours, so I can.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very, very like it. My seat is against my console, so like pulling it back, reaching there. Well, this morning I walked out and I took a Pop Tart out of a wrapper and put it on a paper towel, put it on my center console, and it fell between my seat and my center console.
Oh, the Pop Tart fell.
Yeah.
I thought you were using the Pop-Tart to get a credit card. Out.
Well, no, no. It just, you know, you don't ever start by going, have you ever guys ever dropped a Pop-Tart next to your seat? No, that's, but it
no,
was
I
like, to my
Pop-Tart.
Point, like, you know how you can go down there and grab that's a credit weird. Card with like your, like I said, your little scissor fingers or whatever you want to call it? Trying to do that with a Pop-Tart is impossible. I mean, it just literally just crumbled. So I got a whole situation left in my truck for when I get back out of the car. It's not going to be fun. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
I mean, you're eating Pop-Tarts in your truck. That's kind of a bad combination
right
there.
You don't eat in your truck?
Rarely.
Really?
It's not that I refuse to. I just
had a Pop-Tart for breakfast?
Yeah.
Does that do anything?
You know what's funny is I bet I haven't had a Pop-Tart in like 6 months. And just straight up, I was like, oh, man, that popped. Like, one of my kids had a Pop-Tart yesterday, so it was just sitting on the island. I was like, I'm going to grab that Pop-Tart and eat that this morning. So I just grabbed it, put it on a napkin on the way out. Didn't even have a wrapper on it. Like, I mean, when I put it in the truck, it didn't have a wrapper on it. Yeah, just straight up, just clean-up mode. Just like you know, human vacuum cleaner sometimes in there. But, yeah, I bet I haven't had a Pop-Tart in 6 months. I was pretty excited about it. And I was like, I'm about to go in on this thing. And there it went, right between my seat and my console.
Did you toast it?
No, I didn't have time for that.
I don't like them toasted. I like them.
Who doesn't toast Pop-Tarts?
Lots of people. Yeah. It's not. Like,
it was more about the time efficiency this morning.
It's not like it's been in the refrigerator. It's not like ice cold. It's
cold.
But that's the beauty of it. That icing tastes good. That little frosting inside or whatever the hell it is. The blueberry or whatever. So good.
I don't know. It was time efficiency this morning. I was like, you know, I'm gonna grab my stuff and head out in the car. I'll eat this Pop-Tart on the way. Dude, didn't happen.
But I mean,
devastating.
That's kind of why I don't eat in my truck. I don't eat breakfast. I fast until like 11. And
what's
then,
gonna happen to your truck when lamb chop is here?
Well, lamb chop.
Wait, not lamb. What is it? What is it? Lamb.
This is a song that
pork
never
chop.
Ends.
Chop. There we go. Pork chop. My bad.
I'm sure that she'll eat in the truck. I'm sure the back seat will be a complete debacle. But look, the truck's paid off. It's got like 160,000 miles on it, so it's in. It's. I'm not saying it's done, but I'm saying I've gotten good use and taking care of it to this point. So I mean, it's just one of those deals. Not like it's a, you know, brand new Audi or anything.
Whatever.
High roller over there.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I gotta be real with you though, man. I've been in your truck. It doesn't seem like you're that cleanly about it.
No, it's not. But it's not destroyed either. It's not. My truck at this point is something that nothing but maybe grabbing a few gym shirts out of and vacuuming can't handle.
Yeah.
So I do take a little bit of offense to that. It's not like it's a pigsty in there. It's just a couple of hats and shirts in there. I look like I live out of my truck, but I don't, not in a bad way. It's not, you know.
Just food is where you draw the line.
No, I'm not against eating in my truck. I just don't do it. I don't eat a lot of fast food on the go. I don't eat a lot on the go if I don't have to. You know, probably, I'm sure that changes, but my schedule is pretty, you know, football season's when it gets crazy, and I try to eat every free meal during football season I can, so I'll wait to eat on the plane or on the bus or at the stadium or whatever, so I try not to eat in my truck. I mean, that's just a conscious decision. I'd rather eat at home. Like, you know, even if it's fast food, I just try to take it home.
All right. Well, let's get some headlines. All right. Well, Mike was just talking about the purse for the TGL championship. And take a guess at who won? Who won that big purse? Is the Atlanta team? Yes. The inaugural TGL championship goes to Atlanta Drive. And the team wins $9 million split evenly amongst the four members.
I was watching this, and Atlanta trailed at 1.2-0. And I think it might have been
against New York, by the way.
I think it might have even gotten to 3-0, and it was like 3-2, and it got into the solo play, and it was Ricky Fowler versus Billy Horschel, and it's a par 3, and Fowler hits it in the sand, and Horschel hits it long, and it's in the undulation on the green, kind of had the pin in an odd placement, so it was 3-2. They dropped the hammer. Somebody, I don't know which team throws the hammer, but they throw the hammer so the hole's worth two. And I think it was Atlanta.
It was Atlanta, yeah, Justin Thomas, I believe. And I think they had to review the hammer throw, which was crazy.
And Shoffle, and then we're like, I don't think he's going to make the putt. And so Fowler chips out, and he gets a roll, and it stops with like maybe a 2-foot putt, easy putt for a pro golfer. And Horschel is up. And Horschel makes a putt, and it's tracking, and then it starts to go right, and this thing curves in
zigzag
left. And yeah. I tell you, like, it was a phenomenal putt. Horschel goes blank crazy.
Yeah, he went bonkers,
He went, as he lost his mind, and then Cantlay has a hell of a chip to get to a close putt. And then it put all the pressure on New York, and they didn't come through. It was a crazy comeback because literally New York control the match for the entirety, other than really like maybe the last three or four holes.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. And the way that Horschel reacts, and really his entire team, but Horschel more than others, was just awesome. Like, it was like he had won the Masters or the Ryder Cup or something like that. And in that moment, how cool it was. It was like, to your point, though, the hammer thing that kept coming into play, that was Atlanta's third and final hammer throw. And what timing, man, to be able to sink that putt and throw that hammer, because really that might have done it for you for the rest of the night if he can't come through with that putt. So, yeah, Billy Horschel sinks it, ends up being, what, $3 million in his pocket after that. And, man, it was a cool night. It was cool to see Atlanta be able to pull that off.
Yeah, congratulations to owner Arthur Blank. So, inaugural win going to Atlanta Drive. They're splitting up that $9 million between the four of them.
Somebody tweeted me last night and was like, Arthur Blank has two championships now in the city of Atlanta, and neither are the Falcons. And I was like, yeah, man, cool. Thanks for the reminder. Like, I didn't forget that one. But yeah, he's right. It's a good
Tell Zeno to shut up.
And actually, it wasn't him. It was one of our good listeners. But he's accurate. I mean, the inaugural one there, the United one, they're the second, the championship in what, their second year in as far as on the field play. And so we're just 60 years
don't,
in with
don't
the Falcons.
Rain on. Just, you know, just enjoy the win. How about that? Jalen Green scores 32 points and has 11 boards as the Rockets beat the Hawks 121 to 114. So Dyson Daniels led the Hawks with 19 points, 8 boards, and 10 assists. Also adding in 4 steals, and Trae Young 19 points and 12 assists for Atlanta.
The Hawks just couldn't shoot, man. Or for 3 quarters couldn't shoot. They ended up being 15 of 49 from 3. Just couldn't shoot. And Houston running that zone defense they were trying to run. In the fourth quarter and really the end of the third, the Hawks did a nice job kind of dicing in and out of that. And really throughout the game, they did a nice job penetrating the zone defense of Houston. But when they were kicking it back out, couldn't knock down any shots.
Well,
not only that, but they were getting destroyed on the boards. And Houston, like, I don't even know how many second chance points they had.
Well, they got within, 4 points with 7:20 left. But that was after a 17-2 run. And then, Rockets were outscored by the Hawks in the second half by 10 points, but still couldn't pull this one out.
Yeah, it was a game of runs. It was multiple runs by both teams. Trae Young didn't score to halfway through the second quarter, but the real issue was the disparity at the free throw line for me. When one team takes as half as many free throws as the other, it just makes you wonder how this game's being officiated. And the Rockets won by, 7 points, Steph? Well, when the other team makes 13 more free throws than you, that's gonna cost you the game. So it's not... Yeah, they had struggles, but I don't, you know, where's Danny Hurley at crying about the officiating hair? I mean, this is one where you might have had a case when you shoot 14 more free throws than the other team.
I'm also just curious. I kept looking up multiple times and not seeing Zachary Risacher on the floor for an extended amount of time throughout, I guess it was the second quarter. And I couldn't for the life of me figure it out. As well as he's been playing here recently, and as much as you would think a skill set like his is needed against a defense like Houston's, he just wasn't on the floor as much as I thought he'd be. And I literally would have to go back and check his numbers. That's just passing the eyeball test. But I kept being like, where is Risacher? I didn't know if he was dealing with an injury, if there's some kind of minutes limit going on with him. But maybe he did something that he shouldn't have done, and this is on the floor, and this is Quinn Snyder trying to say, hey, that's not what we're going to do. I don't know. But I just know that he's a difference maker and has been for the better part of going on for 3 months now. And I didn't understand why he wasn't on the floor a little bit more last night.
This segment brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PADLYBuys.com. Up next here on the morning shift, you'll hear from the newest member, one of them, of the Atlanta Falcons, Leonard Floyd. That's just ahead here when we return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Game back here on the morning shift. Is my jacket making a noise? Sometimes when I wear this material, sounds like
you get a little swish going on.
Little bit of the swish.
Like the old 90s Bobby Bowden windbreakers on the sideline with the,
That's what it feels like.
Or the,
Those are starter jackets.
Yeah, what was the little cafe that they used to go to on Saved by the Bell?
The Max.
Yeah, yeah. The windbreakers they wore at the Max, you know, just whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh. Every time I think about that show now, I always think about the Mario Lopez and oh my gosh, why am I blanking out his name? Zach
Morris.
And what was Mario Lopez's character's name?
Slater,
thank you.
AC Slater.
Their fight.
Yeah. Why is that the only thing you think about?
Always pops in my head. And then Jesse having her like meltdown.
I was gonna say
that's what pops
in my head.
No, I always thought about when Kelly cheated on Zach because she screwed it up. Emmett with that weight. That guy worked at the Max, I think.
I don't remember that she cheated with.
No, I'm just kidding.
Because the original guy at the Max, which I think his name was Max with the glasses, they phased him out or something. But then she had that other guy who was like the manager there, and that's who she cheated with. Broke Zach's heart.
Did y'all ever watch the ones where
they were at
the
beach?
But
then they got married. Yeah. Was it?
It was just Saved by the Bell. They were just at the beach this summer, right? It wasn't a spinoff or anything?
No.
The college years?
No. The college years was literally called the college years. I think this was something they did in the summer with Stacy Cerosi was her name or something like that. I think that was like the character's name.
Is that the girl who ended up being in the Scientology?
Well, she was in Scientology then, I think. But yeah.
Oh. Leah Remini.
Yeah, and she was also in King of Queens, which never made sense to me. Why would she be married to Kevin James?
Like,
why would a hot chick like that
going
be married to a fat delivery guy? I mean,
hey, people say that all the time about my household.
What are you talking about?
I
mean, maybe she's a.
I'm sorry, but that's not believable.
Oh my gosh, you were just
Mike and Molly was a much more believable duo than Kevin James and Leah Remini. I'm just telling the truth. Everybody else there is thinking it. I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm with you on that one.
I'm sorry.
It did not seem believable. She's very, very pretty. Yes. They always say, look, there's a lot of sitcoms that are like that, though, I feel like. But,
well, I mean, it's TV. Everything's fake.
Yeah.
But
all the dads are big dudes with bellies.
See,
and,
I thought.
You know, they're all Uncle Phil style, and, you know.
I'm surprised you, of all people, would just be falling into a narrative that attractive people can't not like maybe someone that you deem. Unattractive.
Well, no, I get personality means a lot to people, but the reality is I didn't even think I never thought Kevin I never thought that show was that funny. So to me, I didn't think the Kevin James character in that show was funny enough for her to marry him.
It always surprises me every day what you're going to tee off on.
I'm sorry, it's not believable. It just wasn't.
I'm really doing that.
Especially for like. I mean, I don't know. I digress. But
I don't think it's a narrative to say that most of the time, really attractive people aren't married to really unattractive people. I don't think that's too far out of the
box. I know that, like in Hollywood, money and like you know, like you'll even see some athletes that are not good looking people. You know, married good looking people. I get it. I get the whole thing, but. It's not like he was
a delivery man.
It's not like he was the Wolf of Wall Street in this. I mean, okay?
Oh my God.
He was just an average guy that lived in, you know, the suburbs of what, New Jersey?
Yeah.
And he was married to this hot chick. It didn't add up to me.
A little bit off.
Like imagine a fat Zeno coming in here, right? Like so that's a New Jersey guy or I guess Long Island and You wouldn't think he would have a dime piece. I don't know.
I'm with you on that.
Sorry.
On this subject, I didn't want to bring it up today, but I need to go pull up the name. But the NCAA wrestling was going on.
Yeah.
And did you see the clip where I'm going to pull up his name, the young man that won. He is 5'6", and his girlfriend is 6'3".
He's actually 5'5".
5'5". They made such a big deal out of it. Like, I feel like maybe it took away from the moment a bit of just him winning, which should be celebrated. But yes, the cameras were all on him and his girlfriend. And I think it's awesome.
So Daniel Cormier was one of the announcers. One of the announcers that did it, and he lost his mind because Cormier is a UFC heavyweight champion. I think he was a two weight class champion, one of the greatest college wrestlers in his era, and he's losing his mind because apparently they are, to your point, it's kind of viral. Like, they are, I guess, if you're...
Yeah, they're on TikTok, I think is... I don't have TikTok, but that's where they've, like, highlighted their romance.
And his girlfriend is a 6'3 volleyball player. And so, like, Lucas Bird is the guy's name.
Thank you.
And, like, they were like, hey, is he going to go hug his girlfriend? And, like, he runs over... And they are so happy. They clearly.
They don't
I didn't
care
see
about
that part. I saw him win, but I didn't see that part.
They clearly have a phenomenal relationship, and they really love each other. But it looked like if Mike was hugging me. I mean, that's what it looked like. And I'm bigger than this guy, and Mike's bigger than that. But it was just like, I mean, it was like that. You guys want to know what pictures are like? When you know, always make fun of me and the pictures of Mike and me and Tip. Like,
I stopped staying in the foreground.
Well, let me tell you something. It looked like when Mike took a picture with Austin Dillon and myself. That's what it. I mean, that's what it looked like. But
I think
look,
it's great. They don't care
I'm happy
about
for
what anybody
them.
Else thinks, and I'm happy for them too.
I dated a girl one time that was like 6'1".
They call them short kings.
So it didn't work out.
He said it didn't work out.
Yeah, she didn't. Right. She the weight bothered. I mean, not the weight, but the height bothered her. So you know, didn't bother me. I don't care. I mean,
what's
short
she
guys
looking
don't care.
For though, man. She's looking for like Zachary
I guess a damn
shit.
Offensive lineman. I don't know. She didn't get one. She got like a a kickoff holder or whatever. And I was holding the place kick holder.
All right, let's shift gears. And the Falcons, one of the newest members of the team, Leonard Floyd, he had his introductory press conference yesterday. And so he talked about being able to do a number of things in the scheme as well as his goal for this season.
Getting my highest amount of sacks in one season. That's my goal. It's always been my goal every season. Yeah.
Yeah, his goal, would be 11 sacks to get his highest total in one season. And I think that we all sit here and listen to that and go, yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's just it's funny, man, because we're so hard up for sacks in the city, so thirsty for guys that can come in and thirst buckets. We are thirst buckets here in Atlanta over pass rush, right? We just are. And it's because it's so critical to winning football games and putting guys away. And how many times just over the last two seasons have we been in a situation where if you can get to the quarterback in the fourth quarter, the Falcons probably win the game? It completely changes the dynamic of what you're trying to do. And he talked, I wouldn't say at length. He's a man of very few words. But he did talk multiple times throughout his presser about, I'm focused on sacks. Like, I want to be able to get home. And that's going to be, one of his main priorities as soon as he gets here.
Yeah, if you're the guy that asked him at the press conference if he would be okay with the Falcons drafting another pass rusher, just go ahead and remove yourself. You've been suspended for the next five press conferences.
I did hear that. I didn't catch your
ass.
That's
the more the merrier.
It's the dumbest question like I've heard asked at a press conference in a really long time. And I'm sure it won't be. I'm sure there will be another one that tops it. But because the comparative was to Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix, and it's like, yeah, man, because that's the same thing. it's a great comparison. Have you covered sports before? But anyways, again, I'll take a step back. But I agree with Leonard Floyd when he said, to your point, Tim, he said the more the merrier. Well, why wouldn't he? Because that just helps him. That helps everybody. I'm done getting excited about every time we draft or sign a veteran or draft a guy that's supposed to do it. I am optimistic. I think Leonard Floyd, whatever happened to Leonard Floyd from Chicago to, I think LA was his next step, and I know that he played with Aaron Donald, but in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, he was there at the same time as Khalil Mack was. So the guy has gotten to play with some great pass rushers, is my point, and he's clearly picked up a little bit here and there. He's super excited about playing at home, and I'm happy to have him. Hopefully, he gets at 11 sacks.
Yeah, you mentioned all of his stops. Well, how's all that experience going to help when it comes to the Falcons scheme? Let's take a listen.
We both know that I can do multiple things in the defense, and I played in multiple schemes. So I'm going to go out and do what I do best, buy into the playbook and just buy into the coaching as well.
Yeah, he was asked if he's talked in depth with Jeff Ulbrich about what he'll be asked to do for the Falcons. And, you know, his answer was kind of like, nah, we didn't dive too deep on any of that, but they know what I can do. And they do. And we've talked about it before. You know, him being in San Francisco, going out of a three-point stance, right, with his hand in the dirt, being able to rush the edge and utilize a lot of those in-and-out moves and things like that. But when he was with L.A., which is the last stop he was with Raheem Morris, he was in a two-point stance, and he was standing up, and he actually looked very, very comfortable doing that. He actually looked more comfortable, in my opinion, out of a standing up, out of a two-point stance, which is what, you know, our pass rushers here do. And so I think that's why Raheem Morris actually coveted him. And there's a number of different reasons. First and foremost, he talked about, you know, practicing hard and being a leader with his actions on the practice field. But I think his ability to do multiple things, I think definitely when you look at Raheem Morris, Jeff Ulbrich, and a lot of the defensive identity, multiple is a word they throw around a lot, and he fits that.
Oh, and it's like Arch told us yesterday, it all, like, we can sit here and talk about Jeff Ulbrich's defense or Raheem Morris's defense, but it comes kind of from the origins of what Dan Quinn did, which was something that I think Pete Carroll liked to do too. So all these guys kind of come from where, you know, they all come from kind of a similar place. And my point of all of that is Floyd knows what is, you know, he's comfortable with what Ulbrich's going to be asked to do with him because Raheem has input on that. And we know that. So that part doesn't bother me. What worries me, I guess, or concerns me is, once he puts a Falcons uniform on, can he do what he did in other uniforms? Yeah. Because I don't know if it's necessarily the players, if it's just not the curse of maybe we've been cursed since we cut John Abraham.
You're scarred. You're
after
scarred.
2012.
Well,
I don't know.
I always say, man, it's like I always try to say, what's the median factor here? Like, what's the one thing? What's the common denominator? It's the team. You know what I mean? How many times can you miss on a pass rusher, or, you know, the guy not do well when you sign him? And the only reason I bring up 3-point and 2-point, I really felt like Matthew Judon last year suffered going out of a 2-point. I didn't feel like he was comfortable doing that. So hopefully him going out and Leonard Floyd coming in will kind of change some of that.
We'll get you back to more Falcons and Leonard Floyd later on in the show. But up next, well, opening day is just around the corner, being tomorrow. So Atlanta Braves skipper Brian Snitker, he joined the steakhouse, and we'll let you know what the plan is to keep this pitching staff healthy. That is on the way here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Rolling along here on the morning shift. Opening day for the Braves starts in San Diego against the Padres tomorrow. And Atlanta Braves skipper Brian Snitker, he joined the steakhouse yesterday with Steak and Sandra, and he discussed the team's plans to keep the pitching staff healthy.
Well, I think we did a really good job of that last year, and, you know, and nothing we did was the result of, you know, Chris not being able to pitch. It was just a freak thing. I think we do a really good job of giving guys extra days, and I think that is important. You know, you got Chris at his age, and he got through so good and last year. This is Spencer's first big league camp. As well as he did last year, I didn't even know what he looked like till he showed up in Atlanta. And, it's going to be different. It's going to be new territory for him too, navigating, you know, this season. And we'll do everything we can to try and protect those guys and within reason. I mean, we still got to go out and win ball games but I think organizationally we do a really good job of taking care of these guys.
Well, they did last year. I'm telling you that I don't know whose idea it was. If it was Alex, if it was Snitker, if it was our hitting coach, that names slipped my mind, or maybe even Eddie Perez out in the bullpen. But the 6-man rotation thing was absolutely a brilliant idea last year. It worked. It will be I keep coming back to it. I think if you can get AJ Smith-Shawver to, I don't need him to be Schwellenbach or Strider from years past. I need kind of just go out and give me, you know, 5 to 6 innings every 6th game or 5th game to start and 6th game eventually with giving up 3 runs. That would be enough. Yeah. I just need some – I hate the term, but just eat up a few innings to get me to my bullpen where we're not doing bullpen games, and I need the same from Grant Holmes because it's going to be pivotal with a young arm like Schwellenbach, who pitched more innings way more innings than he ever had in his career, and he's going to do it again this year. Strider coming off the brace surgery, you know, with the UCL stuff. And then Sell, who is an older pitcher who has broke down a lot in the last 4 or 5 years, other than last year, it's extremely
pivotal. And not even his arm when you talk about Chris Sale. It's just funny because it really, in the moment, I think means a lot, you know, to get an extra day here and there. I think that all those guys would say they probably feel more refreshed when they're on, you know, 5 days rest or whatever it is by the time they hit the hill the next time. But, you know, and this is y'all follow me here. This is what I always think of when we have this conversation about six starters. You guys ever heard the theory that you should pay your mortgage every 2 weeks instead of paying it once a month, because in the end you end up getting a couple more payments in per year? Like, if you get paid every 2 weeks, that you should pay your mortgage every 2 weeks, or half of your mortgage every 2 weeks, because in the end you get more money, like at the end of the month, toward the principal, right? That's just how I feel about this. We're going to get to the end of the season with the Braves rotation, and you're going to have starters that are, you know, 26, 27, 28 starts, as opposed to there's other teams out there that'll get all the way to 35 with some of their young guns and some of the pieces that they're kind of leaning on. So I'll be curious, and you bring up names like A.J. Smith-Shaw or Grant Holmes. I'll be curious to see where their numbers are at in terms of innings pitched. And Spencer Schwellenbach, and he just mentioned it, he's going to be in that boat too. We expect a lot out of all these guys. But Schwellenbach, like he said, you didn't even know what he looked like until this time last year, right, when he shows up in Atlanta or whenever that was, whatever, you know, point along the way that was. So it is crazy to think about. And you've got A.J. Smith-Shawver, who is still very, very young and hasn't thrown that amount of innings. Grant Holmes, not young, I believe 29 years old, but he's a guy that, you know, hasn't thrown that many innings before. So how long can you keep all of these kind of arms that aren't used to this going? And I think it just starts with starting in April, right? Like he just talked about, like you've talked about, Bo, to your credit, of just, hey, let's give a guy an extra day here, give a guy an extra day here when we can, and hopefully by the end of the season we're still rocking with guys that are doing their best.
Yeah, health being the primary topic, it seemed like, on the steakhouse, because Ronald Acuña Jr., everyone wants to know, when can we expect him back after dealing with his second ACL surgery? Well, here's Snit on the timeline.
We're not going to put timelines on things, because when you do that, then you got to, you know, it's like, well, then why didn't he meet this timeline? And he's doing good. I mean, he's there. He's getting a lot of game at bats. It's just the running, the cutting, the starting, the stopping. Are things that he's still training to be able to do. So when he's able to do that, then we're going to plug him in. And hopefully when, you know, by the time he gets here, he's ready to go full bore. So, it's just one of those things that they're going to do things right. We're going to, you know, this is the second time. I think Ronald's had a great attitude all spring. He's been unbelievable. And he's working very hard and diligent. And you know what, we're going to love it when we get him. And, you know, hopefully it's sooner than later.
And I don't know what they did the first go around, but to not have a timeline or not put a timeline out there publicly, I think is an excellent move by the staff.
Yeah, and everybody kind of takes their guesses as to what it is and, you know, where he's at. And, you know, we can all say mid-April, early May, whatever it may be. I got to tell you guys, though, I cringe a little bit when he said, just when he says starting and stopping, like my knees started aching.
You know what I mean?
Because, and I don't think Ronald Acuña, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see Ronald Acuña at this point in his career, and maybe after the second knee injury, maybe I'm wrong, but he doesn't seem to me like a guy that you can, you know, put a harness on and tell him to slow down. I don't think you can tell a guy like that to kind of whoa up a little bit. He plays the game at such an exciting level, and that's where he gets, you know, that's where he gets everything from, is his excitement for the game. You've heard him talk about it before, man. He's excited to go play. Plays with a flair. He's running all over the place. He's diving head first. His helmet's coming off as he rounds second, you know? And so I don't think he's the kind of guy that once he gets in the lineup that you can say, hey, man, be careful cutting, or maybe you shouldn't steal, or hey, don't, you know, you don't have to go crazy hard on that gapper. Like, that just is... It doesn't sound right when I envision Ronald Acuña doing that.
I don't think that will be the case when he returns. When he returns, you can probably expect him to be fully, you know, cleared. So there probably won't be any limitations on him. If anything, it would be probably the mental hurdle that maybe he has to get over, if he even still has to encounter that after having to deal with this second time around. But at least what he's knocked them both out now, not trying to make light of it, but you tear one, you're more likely to tear the other. It's out of the way, so maybe maybe it's more freeing now.
Well, and the first time he came back from it, he didn't come back till late April, but I think people forget that he didn't tear it until late July.
Yeah.
It was actually, I think, right at the All-Star break, maybe the game before the All-Star break or two games before the All-Star break, somewhere in there, or maybe it was right after one. It was in that realm of mid-July. He tore this way earlier, and he came back that year, and he had soreness all year. And there were times where he didn't look anything like the player he did in early in his career, and he looked definitely nothing like the player was in 23. So, but when I heard him talk, I don't know why, but I was like, okay, well, whatever we get out of Ronald Acuña Jr. this year is going to be a bonus. That's the way I took it as.
Wow.
I don't mean to be negative.
Wow.
But
that would hurt me.
If you go back to his 2022 year, he wasn't great. It was not. I say great, and I mean it. And it's kind of one of those things where you're like, well, it's relative because when you think of him, you think of 2021 before the injury. You think of 2023 as an entirety, and that's what his standard is, not what he was in 2022 and really what he was until he got injured last year. That said, that doesn't make me feel terrible because the Yerkes and Profar thing is such a good addition that it should kind of make you feel like, okay, if our back end of our rotation can kind of hold their own or just kind of not be a disaster, I guess, and Yerkes and Profar can give you what he did last year, I'm not overly worried about what Jared Kelnick will be in his hot streaks and cold streaks. I'm really more worried about, you know, letting Ronald get completely healthy, and then whatever he can give us is going to be a bonus, and including the fact that just him being in the lineup changes how teams will approach your lineup and pitch to him, which helps everyone else.
I feel like, but and I don't want to sound like a Debbie Downer for me, because I'm really high on what I think Ronald Acuña can bring. And you kind of mentioned, you kind of dampen those expectations. I feel that way about Yerkes and Profar. Like when Yerkes and Profar has been in Major League Baseball for what, 11 years? Last year was a career year for him. I think it was his first All-Star appearance. I mean, he played extremely well. But I don't know if I necessarily want to hinge the way I look at the Braves outfield on him getting back to that point once again and having another career year. I think it has to be a balance. And hopefully these guys – and Jason Hayward fits in that category too, where he's not been great at times, and other times he looks like an MVP candidate.
You so, Michael Harris?
Yeah, that's what –
I'm not relying on Jason Hayward to do anything.
Well, yes,
it talked about it yesterday how, you know, I think a lot of people look at Michael Harris and hope he's not Jason Hayward. But to my point, I think that you have to lean on all three of those guys to pick each other up in certain moments. And look, De La Cruz fits that as well. And whoever else they want to put in a lot of these rotations, lean on each other. And hopefully one guy in that outfield doesn't have to carry the entire squad.
Well, if it does have to be Yerkes and Profar, at least we know going into the season, he's found a new home.
He's been unbelievable, I think. I mean, he's fit right in from day one. He's just got a great attitude. I mean, he's always smiling. He's a great teammate. I think he's gonna be a really good add for us in our lineup. And when we get Ronald back, it's going to be really deep, and that lineup is. And he's been fun to be around. I mean, he loves to play. He loves to work. You know, I think he's one of those guys. He's not going to get tired. He's going to get sleepy, you know. And I think he expects to play every day. And he's, like I say, he's fit right in here.
At least you have him while you don't have Acuña, but then think about the fact of having them together.
Well, yeah, and that means you don't have to rely on Kelnick, which is the biggest. And I'm not knocking Kelnick. I think he had great moments last year, but his consistency has been an issue from day one in the majors, especially with his team. Like, I need Yerkes and Profar. I don't need him to hit homer. Yeah, he had 24 homers last year, but it's never really been his strong suit. I need him to get on base. And this guy, his last 5 years has had right at a .350 on base percentage. That's to me his job. You get up there at the beginning of the line, set the pace at the top of the lineup with getting on base, and then you want the guys behind him and whoever's hitting that two hole at the time, whether it's Ozzy or it's somebody else, and then Olson and then Riley and the Big Bear And that's like, that's where your money is going to be made. And that's what his strong suit is. That's why I love Drake Baldwin so far. Everything here about Drake Baldwin had double the amount of walks than he did strikeouts in spring training. Mm. And that's where the, you know, with Sean Murphy out too, as well. So you have three starters essentially, if you want to count Strider, which I do because he's in your starting rotation, that are not going to start this season, but should come back before the end of May.
Yeah.
And so you've got to tread water in a lot of ways. So you're going to need guys, you know, and I talked about Profar, but the reality is Jared Kelnick's the one that needs to step up. And Jared Kelnick needs to show why you can't just bench me when Ronald comes back. Why maybe we need to platoon a little bit and I need to be in there a little bit with Profar. That's what Kelnick's fighting for his job and his spot on the everyday roster, but everyday lineup, but really just as a rotational guy, not a straight up bench guy.
Yeah.
The first month of this season.
Yeah, I agree. He's got to step up to the plate.
When we come back here, why did Leonard Floyd choose the Falcons, and was that an easy decision? You'll hear from him next when we return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.